It's time to engage God in the beauty, in the preciousness, in His holiness. There's nothing like it.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, February 1st, 2026. Pastor Zonia speaking. Today's message is entitled, Keeping the Fire Burning. And our text comes to us from Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, and Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And now, here is Pastor Zonia.
This morning, as we go into communion, I like to emphasize to you the importance of keeping up our presence in the Lord through fasting and through prayer. There are a couple of passages of scripture I like for us to look at, but let me just put it this way. Don't stop fasting and prayer. Don't think it's done deal. I like for you to do everything you can to develop fasting and prayer as part of your lifestyle, a way of approaching the Lord and approaching your life. We have just crossed the finish line of 21 days of fasting and prayer, and it's a massive spiritual victory for those who did it, for those who took it seriously. For those who did not, then it's in you. But those of us who have taken 21 days of prayer and fasting seriously as something that could augment our relationship with the Lord, no. Not so much our relationship, but our awareness of His presence, because our relationship is there. He is our Heavenly Father. But those of us who have done that, hopefully the physical hunger was replaced with spiritual hunger. But it takes the move of God in your heart for you to do that. Anything that has to do with prayer and fasting and solitude and seeking God, it's your will, but it's also the push and the initiative of the Holy Spirit in your heart, where you open ourselves to Him and say, Lord, how can I best serve You? And there's a hunger that has awakened in our hearts to seek Him. And as we seek Him, we find Him. But I'm going to tell you, the most dangerous day of 21 days of prayer and fasting is day 22. Because day 22 is because there is a temptation to say, I'm done. I did it. Au revoir. Now I go back and do whatever you do. I can go back to what people call normal. But fasting should be your normal as a Christian. Prayer should be your normal as a Christian. The disciplines of the scriptures, seeking God and calling on God and moving towards God and reading the word, that should be the normal. It should not be just once a year, the first 11 or 21 days of the year. So today, the Lord wants to speak to you and wants to speak to me in a way that I think is very appropriate. God is not really looking for a 21-day visitation. He's looking to you as a habitation. He wants to dwell in you. He dwells in you. And we're going to be thanking God for what He's done. We have already done that. In some ways, you've said, God has done things in my life. But the only way that we can achieve success in 21 days of prayer and fasting is to be thankful for what He has done. Because you've got to be thankful for what God is doing in your life. And then we need to make a covenant in our hearts and in our lives to continue to allow the fire to be burning in our hearts for the rest of our lives. We would say for the rest of this year, but I would say for the rest of our lives. Psalms 103, verse 1 and 2 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Forget not His benefits. Before we look forward, we got to remember with gratitude what God has done in our lives. You know that fasting doesn't change God. It doesn't. He changes you. He changes me. He changes us. So what do you have to thank God for today? Well, maybe one of the things we need to thank God for is for clarity as we fasted and we prayed. There's a lot of noise in the world. There's a noisy world out there. And I hope that the 21 days of prayer and fasting, you were able to turn down the voice of the world and tune in through the aid of the Holy Spirit to what God is saying. So you've got to thank him for clarity. What is he saying to me? What is he saying to me? Very important, because God is speaking. If we're willing to listen, we can hear his voice. The second thing, I believe, is we thank him for dependence. Because I know it may not have happened to you, but it happened to me. When my stomach growled, and all of a sudden I hear that strange noise in my belly, which I don't usually have, you know that it's lack of food, and your food says, the body says, food. But you know, it's that moment that you depend on the Lord and say, Lord, I need you and want you more than bread, more than food. That's the fasting. That's the key. Because you realize that the body's urging you for something, and you deny your body in order to allow the Lord's presence to be manifested in that way. I'm telling you, there's nothing like depending on the Lord when you go through fasting. And you do it judiciously, of course. You drink water, of course you do. And you pay attention to the symptoms around you. And whenever you get those hunger pains, you call on the Lord, and that's your prayer. That's your touch with the Lord. That is the dependence on the Lord. Lord, as I seek you, Lord, I need you more than I need food. And then you thank God for breakthroughs. So bless the Lord of my soul. I'm forgetting all of his benefits. Thank him for clarity, dependence, and for breakthrough. Because, you know, there are some mountains in our life. There are mountains in our life that will only move with prayer and fasting. That's absolute. There are some things that will not be removed, that will not go away until we pray and we fast. And so we thank God for the chains that are broken over the last times of our prayer and fasting. And you know, it's like our sister said, you don't approach God with a give me portion, but you approach God with love. And he loves you. And as he loves you, he gives you without you having to ask. Amazing, isn't it? It's approaching the Lord for breakthroughs in your life. And you know, if you're still not done with your breakthrough, if there's still some things hanging out there, things that you've not been able to get a victory, continue your prayer and your fasting. And if you were negligent in your prayer and fasting, what do I mean by negligent? Well, if you were not committed to it, if it's not something that you took as important, then maybe you should review it again, and I'll give you another 21 days. How's that? And the idea is to seek the Lord. We have to be people that seek the Lord while he yet may be found. We cannot be worldly Christians. We can't be just sucked into the world. We got to get close to God. And we get close to God by simply fasting and prayer and the disciplines. And as we've been saying here all along, it is a relationship that you establish. It is getting closer to him. He's as close as he will ever be to you, but you need to know how close he is to you. So our text this morning, there are two of them. The first one is Leviticus chapter 6. Never thought you would go to Leviticus. Leviticus is a book of the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. And let's look at it. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. See, it says, every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offering on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. You must not allow the fire to be put out. It cannot go out. You have to keep bringing to the altar your presence, your heart, your life, so that the fire will continue to glow. Again, the fire must be kept burning. You must keep burning. You must keep it up. It should be an altar of consuming fire, where you come before the Lord continuously, and the fire will not be put out. Then there's another scripture that I want to share with you, which is in Matthew. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. When you fast, Jesus never said if you fast. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they're fasting. Now that is ridiculous, isn't it? But that's what they did. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Ha! Isn't that a concept? Fasting is something you do towards the Lord. It's not that you're hiding fasting from other people. Other people will know you're fasting, but it's that you're not showing off. You're not trying to say, look at me, I'm fasting. That's not the point. The point is we fast unto the Lord, and our Heavenly Father knows all about what's going on in your life, and He will reward you. He will reward you. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. So we thank God for what we've done, but we have to keep the fire burning. We have to renew the altar. We need to bring wood to the altar. We need to keep up our commitment, because those thanksgiving will seal the victories that we have. You and I need to thank God for things yet to come. So the mandate is you don't put out the fire. You don't stop just because it's 21 days. In the Old Testament, as we read in Leviticus, the priests were given a specific command saying at the altar, it says, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. God is the one who set the fire going, but the priests have to keep it burning. Something about God wanting you to continue the work He began in you, for you to pay attention to the victories and the breakthroughs and the clarities that God has given you, and for you to keep it going. Do not stop fasting and prayer in your life. If you do, you're going to let the fire go out. And you cannot survive on the fumes of January when you're living in February or March. Or what else? And what else? And what else? So my concern for you is don't stop. Keep it going. Keep going. That the Lord has started something new, just keep going. Paul tells us, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. There's a process involved. There's a commitment towards you keeping up your life before the Lord, rendering your true worship, rendering your sacrifice before the Lord. And it says, bring your bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm telling you, some of you really, really knew how much of a sacrifice it was because your stomach were growling. Some of you really, really knew how difficult it is. But, you know, that's good. That's good stuff, because it shows you that you're doing something, you're progressing in the things of God in your life. I think it's absolutely wonderful for you to feel the need for God as you draw near to Him and you keep the fire burning. So I think that for the rest of the year, you and I need to do this very special shift from emergency brakes to steering wheel. Emergency brakes, you know, and I've done this, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's an emergency, and you fast, and you should. But at the same time, fasting is not just for times of crisis. Fasting is not just an emergency break that you use it when everything is crashing in your life. We should use fasting and prayer as a steering wheel, where every single week of our lives, daily, weekly, monthly, disciplines that guide our life, do things that sometimes can be routine. Imagine how wonderful it will be if you did not have a need, and you go to the Lord in prayer and fasting anyway. Well, you don't come to God saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, but you simply stand there and say, Hello, Lord, here I am. And they said, what are you asking? I said, I'm not asking for anything. I just want to spend time with you. And I mean, what a victory of relationship when you just want to hang around, when you just want to be close to him. No, Lord, there's really nothing urgent here. I mean, I could name you a few, but Lord, I'm doing this because I love you and I want to get to know you better. So it becomes a steering wheel. You guide, you move towards the goal of a closer walk with Jesus because you want to. And smart. So prayer and fasting is good when there is an emergency, but it's better when there is no emergency. It's better when you do it because you want to. You want to get close to the Lord. Again, Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, when you fast, he never said if you fast, but when you fast, do it this way. Do it in secret. The Lord is looking at you. The Lord is working in your life. He'll reward you. He'll bless you. A time with Jesus spent is not a time wasted. Mm-mm. It's not wasted time. There's nothing better that you can do than to spend time with the Lord. And when you do so with no agenda, but simply to say, Lord, I want to get to know you, or just simply, Lord, speak to my heart. It's an amazing relationship. You strike a new level of commitment and communion with the Lord. None of this can really be explained, can only be experienced. When you enter into the presence of the Lord and you come. Jesus said in Matthew 9:15, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away, and then they will fast. And the bridegroom has been taken away. The Lord is in heaven. And we fast. It's a time for fasting. It's a time of securing ourselves in new dimensions of growth and development in his presence. It's time to discover who you are in God's kingdom. It's time to discover God's plan for your life. It's time to engage God in the beauty, in the preciousness, in his holiness. There's nothing like it. And if you've never done this, you should. Just take the time using fasting and prayer as the steering wheel of your life. So here is what I propose for you, so that the fire will go on, so that you throw a couple of pieces of lumber and you keep the fire going in your life. I think all of us should take 21 days of fasting seriously and spread it through a 12-month period. And consider, for instance, fasting the first day of the week. This is between you and the Lord now. I mean, if it helps you, we'll give you a calendar. But isn't it wonderful if you can do this out of your own? Isn't it wonderful if you could produce that on your own? The first weeks, the first fruits of the week would be Monday and would be Sunday. So let's say you fast on Sunday. You fast until 6 o'clock on Sunday. Or take any other day, Wednesday or Friday, from the moment you get up to 3 o'clock or 6 p.m. just find a way that your stomach will growl, and you replace them with a prayer. It is amazing what God will do in your life when you do that. I'm telling you, it's one of the most wonderful experiences that you can have when you go to the Lord, even when you have nothing to ask him, but just to, again, hang out. John Wesley, as you know, the founder of Methodism, he would never ordain a minister unless he would fast Wednesdays and Fridays. He says, this is how you keep the flesh weak. Keep the flesh under control. Yeah. You know, let's face it, our stomachs really compete with God. Huh? But if you were just simply to just turn the key and experience the wonderful feast that the Lord has. Jesus said, I have food that you don't know about, to his disciples. There is a miraculous way in which God touches you and strengthens you and grants the desires of your heart that you don't even know what they are. He opens the door before you. It is a relationship worth looking for. So I think it was Lily that said to me the other day on Sunday, can you fast something different than food? And I said, yeah, but food is also important. You know, we can get away from food, you know. But it's true. You can also make a commitment to fast from media. This shocks all people under what? Under 25, whatever it is. Because gluttony is not just about food. It's about consumption. I'm saying to you, if you make a discipline of fasting from social media, it'd be wonderful. I dare you to turn off Facebook and all that stuff. I dare you. Just get away from it. Just put it up. You will survive. You will be alive. The problems that existed before were never really true. They were all fake stuff. This week, what I've done, I've moved away from watching news more than anything else. At the beginning of our fasting time, we were supposed to be killing one another in Iran, and there's still no killing anybody in Iran. I checked this morning before I came here. They're still talking about it. All that tension that builds up in you, and your emotions are stirred up, and there's going to be a war. And that's one aspect of it. And then whatever goes on in media, what so-and-so said and what the other one said, and you know, the back and forth. When Facebook came out years ago, I was going out of my mind because people wanted to let me know, I'm at the market. This is a sale in bananas. The better beef in Vons than in Ralph's. Sorry, Ralph. We like to patronize your business, but so and it was just so consuming, and every 25 minutes the same person would tell you, now I'm in the car, now I'm driving. And people were looking at that and were making comments. I mean, come on, why don't you fast that? But there's something more dangerous than just simply getting involved in that. It's also the shopping network. Oh, I'm touching some of you, huh? Yeah. And just deprive yourself. Say, I'm not going to do that for one day. I'm going to stay away from that. I am not going to be a consumer. I'm going to make a ministry I'm going to discipline a fasting of media, social media, one day a week to protect my peace. He will transform you, because then you put your eyes on Jesus and you think about Jesus. Huh. So Anna was a woman in the New Testament. Luke chapter 2, verse 37 speaks of Anna. He says, she served the Lord with fasting and prayer night and day. Some people ask me, Pastor, I don't have a ministry. How about fasting and prayer? Just do that. Just fast and pray. What's your ministry? I fast and I pray. Ooh, we need secret weapons like that. That's the church's secret weapons. People who pray and fast and don't talk about it. But they actually do pray and fast. And they pray and fast, not eating, and deprive themselves of, like, if it's great deprivation, you know, about media and things like that. They make certain concessions of lifestyle so that the Lord will be at the center, at the focus of every day that we live. Well, I'm saying to you that fasting can become a service, can become a ministry, can become a lifestyle. We've done 21 days of fasting. Some of you did it well, others, well, you know, whatever. You know where you were in all those 21 days. But it's time for you to take it seriously again and consider fasting and prayer as a lifestyle that will shape you and strengthen you. When you do that, you will be powerful men and women of God, and you will be able to glide through life with greater strength than ever before. So my conclusion today is that you and I are not going back to normal. We're going forward committed. We're going forward with prayer and fasting, and we got to do that every single month. You need to pick a day. I would say the first day of the week, every Sunday or Monday or Wednesday or Thursday, find a day and dedicate that day for prayer and fasting. And so every week you do one day of prayer and fasting, one day out of the week. It will transform your life. It will revolutionize who you are as a Christian. We sing "Just a Closer Walk with Thee," huh? Ooh, just do that. Not because you've got to get things from God, but because you want to give of yourself to Him. And you're going to find out that God's will for you is so wonderful. It's so beautiful. It's so powerful. It's so majestic. It's so glorious. It's so absolutely out of this world that you will never again not fast. Because fasting is that key, getting closer to the Lord. You know, there's so many excuses we use for fasting, for not fasting. My body won't take it. I told you again, your body will take it. You're taken care of. Don't worry about that. But, you know, well, it's difficult because I have to work. You can fast and work at the same time. Whatever it takes, you need to move away those excuses and simply say, I'm going to keep the fire burning. I'm going to every week fast and pray so that I can spend more time with the Lord. And that, my brothers and sisters, has no equal, no equal. 21 days of fasting is the beginning. We need to ask the Lord to help us go all the way through so that when He comes, we will not really have to get very much more acquainted because we've spent quality time with Him and He's a welcome in our lives and in our hearts. Can I hear an amen? So, Lord, I thank You for this 21 days that You've given us. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to sustain a rhythm of prayer and fasting for the rest of this year. I pray, Holy Spirit, to keep the fire on the altar burning. I pray that we would make a covenant with You, Lord, that we will not forget and that we will be blessed and strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.